Call to order. Call our meeting to order. Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Simpson.
Here.
Trustee Gendrich.
Here.
Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
President Raftery here. So we have a budget.
Do you have any budget?
We have a budget.
We don't have an agenda.
Yeah, there's an agenda.
I have a motion to adopt the agenda. Trustee Dart, seconded by Trustee Gendrich. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you.
Now we have a budget
to talk about.
Yeah, I think what we're going to do is let Julie start off with an overview that hopefully will help explain where we're at and why we're at this point. So, Julie?
Take it from there. Okay. Our binders we received here. What I took was broke down the expenditures for all of our funds that's in this binder here. So we've got $16.5 million in expenditures. This is our general fund here. The $7.2 million. Come down, we've got our public bus fund, $60,000. Stadium tax, $70,000. Debt service, $1.2. TIF district's got 111,000. You're not going to find this in your computer.
Oh, a different one. I knew there were some, but.
And then we get into, we've got our parks capital projects here. And then these are our what do we call proprietary funds. We've got the sewer utility, the water utility, the storm utility, and then our equipment replacement fund. Okay. So all of these funds over here are supported by user fees, basically. Water, sewer, storm are outside users. The equipment replacement fund are the inside users, which would be DPW, parks, whatnot, using the equipment being charged. So what I'd like to do is concentrate on these funds over here, which affect the levy bill. Okay? So when we go to the governmental funds, like, here's our general fund. The green represents expenditures of $7.2 million. We've got other revenues of $2 million. So that gap needs to be filled with property tax levy. Public bus.
What are the revenues from?
Other revenues can be seen on state aid, you're in a governmental that, you know, charges for services, stuff like that. It can also include fund balance applied. When we go to the public bus fund, we've got $60,000 in expenditures, $10,000 in other revenues, which is basically we're applying fund balance from that fund. So then we have to make up the difference with a $50,000 levy. The stadium sales tax fund, I'm showing here because we've got expenditures shown, but there is no levy for that fund. Those expenditures will be offset using fund balance, which were those excess sales taxes received. Compensated absences reserve. We're not showing any expenditures there, but we do have a $10,000 levy we're doing annually to make sure we have money available. When people retire, we can pay out those accumulated balances. Debt service fund, $1.2 million. Principal and interest, we've got $23,000 in fund balance that's being applied here, and that's basically due to the last borrowing and a premium. And that premium had to be used for interest payments. So then we need $1.2 million in levy. Parks capital projects, $73,000 in expenditures. $60,000 of that will come from the fund balance. And you've been levying $13,000 for that fund. TID district's a little bit different. We've got the $111,000 in expenditures. It's $425,000 in other revenues is going to be the increments coming from the other taxing jurisdictions, and then there's some state aid in there for the exempt computer aid. So our levy on the TIF district is $166,000. Okay. Then I flip this to dollars here. So when we're looking here, here's the general fund expenditures. Here are those other revenues to offset. Brings us down to what we need to levy. And you can see that carries across for each of these funds here. There's that $10,000 we're going to throw into the compensated absences. debt service, capital projects. Okay. So this number here is our governmental levy, 6.5 million. Once you have that figure, then you calculate what's called an interim rate to come up with our TID levy. Okay, so as this increment grows, the levy should be growing in addition. Okay, but then we add these two levies together. That's the amount of levy that gets spread over our assessed value of 904. So that's where we come up with this rate, 7393. So basically, you've got expenditures, you've got other revenues come in, gaps got to be filled by property taxes. And that's spread over assessed value.
Julie, can you back up? I don't quite mm-hmm. understand the interim rate applied to the TID value increment.
It's just a calculation. That's how the state sets that calculation. What we take is this assessed this levy here.
Yep.
Divide it by the equalized value with the TID out, mm-hmm. and that's what's called an interim rate. You take that rate and apply it to the to the increment to come up with the levy.
Does that mean we have to levy for that amount?
Yes. Yeah. That's our share. That's the village's share.
That's the village's share of taxes that are being collected.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the other taxing jurisdictions kick in on that too, and I can show a calculation of that later. What's interesting to see here is when you take our tax rate based on assessed value, which is how we apportion our taxes, versus if our assessed value was in line with our equalized value, our tax rate would come down to that 6.712. But this is the rate we're dealing with here, the 7.393.
Last year's tax rate was
7.214. Okay. I've got that over here. This is the 18 here.
Oh, okay.
So you can see this general levy went up. The TID levy is going to go up. And then there wasn't a huge growth in our assessed value to spread that over. So then the rate goes up.
What was the increase in assessed value?
Let's see. That would be... Yeah.
Outside of the TID.
904 versus the 902.
Outside of the TID, right?
That's the full assessed value. That includes the TID. That's our full assessed value that we spread our rate on.
So the property is down at Riverside. And
as those are being developed, they're done by January 1st, by December 31st, right? So they're going for January.
And when that happens, how does that formula change?
So we have one of
those. If this assessed value increases, you're spreading that levy over a greater assessed value. Which
okay, so when we have those things in, then the value goes.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. That's why we're trying to build that base.
Yes.
You know, there's only so much we can do with additional revenues here. And our expenditures, we try to keep them in line, but they're increasing. So
the 904 won't be changed at all until the next budget year.
Yep. Yes.
Correct.
Okay. So then in looking at kind of what increased this general levy here, the 10,000 is the same. Mm-hmm. For the compensated absences, the park's the same. The debt service moved very little. So it comes down to our general fund. And then when we get into our general fund and look at our revenues compared to last year, we go all the way down to the bottom here. We're showing increased revenues of $117,000. But $158,000 of that was property taxes. So our revenues actually went down by $40,000.
Okay. And are you going to show us where that happened?
Yes. Some of these main areas is where we can see it here. Expenditure restraint is a good one. It decreased by $21,000 through no fault of our own. We qualify for the aid. There's only so much money available in that pot, and when other people are qualifying, we get less. So that hurt. Transportation aids.
I got to stop you. Expenditure, who calls it that? What does that name mean?
That was set up back in the day to keep your general fund expenditures down. So if you only increase by a certain amount, they'd give you this aid kind of as an incentive to keep your expenditures down.
Okay.
And it used to always be in the general fund. Now they've picked up any of the other funds you're levying for, because it used to be, okay, let's pull some capital out of the general fund, throw it over into a capital projects fund, and you can still qualify for this aid, but can't do that anymore. You've got to gather it all together.
So we lost an entire category, or it went from, let's say, 124 to 102?
Correct. It just decreased.
It's prorated, yeah.
Decreased because there were less funds available to share with all the unis.
Okay. Thank you.
Transportation aids, even though funding had increased there, and you can see that from our 2017 versus 2018 budget here, it went up. But then we lost $10,000 for 2019. And actually our costs that qualified, they have a nice little formula they go through. Our costs were higher, but the share of cost percentage was tweaked down a little bit, so we got less money.
And who did that tweaking?
That would be the state.
Kind of like the restraint.
Mm-hmm.
There's so no restraint.
You're going to see an increase here. This is a personal property aid. This is new for 2019 budget. And basically what the state is doing is the non-manufacturing, locally assessed personal property is coming off the tax roll. So that comes out of our assessed value. So they're making it up with this payment here.
Now how much did we collect from personal property tax in prior years?
I'd have to break that down.
Does that?
Yeah, it does.
Does that break even?
It does, but it's based on 2017 value. So as time goes on, that isn't going to grow the way it should be growing.
So where is it being pulled from?
The assessed value. So when you come up with that full value and you divide it by your assessed value, that assessed value is lower. So they're trying to make it up with this aid.
By $15,000 mm-hmm. of taxes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Okay, going on here, TV franchise fees, those have been just kind of a downward trend on that. So we pulled that down a bit. Municipal court, another trend that's going down.
Can I interrupt on the television fees? Wasn't there some talk about incorporating other forms of like internet and all of that?
That's what we were talking internally.
Yeah.
And trying to get the state to buy into that. And at this point, it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. And so, because what we ended up doing is checking with the municipalities around here, just getting an idea of where is your trend going, and everyone's dropping.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was just no one really paid attention to it, but to us it's been significant, because if you look back, where is that at? I'm not sure. 157, and now we're down to 137.
A couple years ago it was at 170.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We've lost a lot of money in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And as to what President Rafter is referring to, is the infrastructure is still there. We're still utilizing the infrastructure. And with more and more people using their computer to stream TV, it's still there. But that is not incorporated into the campaign.
Okay. Okay. Yep, there's our municipal court. Putting the budget more in line with what we're anticipating. Recyclable materials. No market. There's no market for the materials. So that's gone.
It's a double whammy, though.
Double whammy, yep. Comes across on the expenses, then. Bumped our interest on investments a little bit, but overall, net of those property taxes, our revenues are down $40,000 in the general fund. So then we take a look at the expenditures within the general fund. General government up about $21,000. That we can put onto general admin. We've got about a $14,000 contingency in there we're hoping to use for some wage adjustments and incentives in 19. Over and above the 2% we have in the budget. So there's a couple people that should be considered for an increase, and some of those other ideas we had for bringing ideas forward for efficiencies and stuff like that, if we can reward them in some manner. Police department's up.
Yeah.
$21,000. Building inspection, this is basically, we went from that position being charged the water 60%, building inspection 40%, it's now flipped to 60%, building 40% water.
And why was that?
Just because of the work that's
the
being
usage?
Done. Yeah, yeah. The meter replacements, I believe, was
completed.
And now he'll be doing the cross connections. So, now, other services, not a whole lot of a change there. Public works, got a decrease in the street lighting. Engineering is up there, and that is where, and we'll have to talk about some capital changes we went through. One of the things that Sean really wants to get in is a GIS system. So we're looking at using general fund balance for the general portion of that. Utilities will pay for those costs, but that will come out of...
How much would that be? It's about a $40,000 total.
Yeah, I think we got $42,000. Yeah.
Is that a capital expense, or is that...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then if you can scroll back up, if you don't mind. You
no.
I had asked earlier, keep going, the top line, not top line, row 12. I had asked about that $5,000 increase, and that was, we're seeing more instances of things going to trial.
Correct.
Which is causing more prosecuting attorney time.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah,
there's that.
Sure. And Judge Bob did send me kind of a summary. Mm-hmm.
So he expects more court, but $20,000 less in revenue.
Do we know why more things are going to trial? What's changed?
Not sure. It's just people are more willing to take their chances with the trial.
Okay.
One of the other things that Judge Bob has done that is a little bit different is, for collection purposes, his collection rate is much greater. It's like 80%. But he allows an individual that has been fined, if it's $100 or if it's $1,000, whatever the fine may be, to come up with a payment plan. And that's how he's been able to be more successful in fewer collections.
Mm.
But it may span it over 1 year to the next. So does that mean we think we might see less, let me say it properly, less of a decrease in 19 if the payments keep going? I hope so. Or too early to tell.
Well, is it recorded as the fines or as the payments?
As the payments come in.
Okay.
Yeah. Because so many of those are uncollectible too. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why he sets up the payment plans to make the collections. So we can see what the trend is. That may help us.
That's when it comes in the plate.
Okay.
You gotta put in the ink and then you count it.
What else? Does
Julie, in terms of the engineering,
yep,
for the GIS,
mm-hmm,
is it that whole number, is that for the GIS?
Not the whole number, no. Let's see. Page 30. He's got the detail of all the engineering.
So is it carved out as GIS or is it in...
It shows up as outlay software purchases.
Outlay software.
$2,500.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Outlay equipment.
Is software and hardware purchases, is that a... in the equipment, is that a one-time fee?
This $24,000 would be a one-time fee, but there will be continuing maintenance fees that haven't been returned.
Okay. But if we wanted to pay that out of the general fund, could we?
What we would do is portion the general fund and then the utilities, since they're using the GIS system to move it out, get some of the costs.
I'm just trying to figure out if we are able to reduce the levy. Can we use that as an example?
For hard costs, for hardware, yes.
But this is already using fund balance applied.
This is
$24,000, yeah.
Could that be considered equipment? I know we don't have anything in the equipment replacement fund to pay for that, but could it be considered equipment?
Use the equipment replacement fund? I guess you could, but I really
wouldn't do that.
Encourage it, yeah.
And we do have money in the equipment replacement.
We do have money in it, but
it's for other things.
Plugging our hole here too. So.
I'm sorry, I'm confused.
Okay.
We said the software purchases and hardware purchases under engineering were those engineering dollars.
But there's nothing there.
And I don't see them. I'm trying to find out where those, that 23, that spreadsheet's more up to date than our packet.
Yes. Yeah.
That makes more sense.
You're not seeing it.
They're not there.
Those were the changes we went through with the capital. So I updated, and I've got copies of those for you, but I didn't want to send out more. I thought we were going to start with labor out here, but
okay.
Yes, it got added after. If we wanna, we'll jump to that after we go through the rest of this here. $32,000, there's our offset to lost revenues for materials, recyclable materials.
Wow.
We lost the revenues, now we're going to get charged extra to dispose of them, too.
So it's not an offset. It's an addition to the
addition. It's the double whammy.
Gosh, I remember that happening several years ago.
Yeah, we've
same
been
way.
This
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Here's the hoping the market changes again for next year.
It did change, though. I mean,
it did. It the pendulum swung depending on the... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we're not making any friends with China, so...
No.
I don't think they want our stuff.
I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. Sean,
I guess. Okay, let's see. Not a whole lot of change here. The biggest increase here is with those rec programs, but then Chris basically offset that with his rec programs. So that's kind of what's driving the increase in this levy is lost revenues, increased expenditures. Let's look at this capital items we went through. We met as a group after you had gotten these budget booklets because we were trying to kind of nail some of this stuff down. The voting machines, those were in the packet you had. We had already added those. And we had delayed the outlay in equipment at the Village Hall. We were building that fund up, too, to be used for future Village Hall maintenance. We figured we can't afford what we have. We thought we'd pull that for the year. And these LED lighting upgrades, the drafting table, were already in there. One thing we had talked about is a new phone system. That still is not in the budget anywhere because we're trying to determine what the initial cost is and the ongoing cost of that. So right now we've just got a old phone cost in the budget.
There's this new thing out there where your phones are in the cloud. I don't quite understand it.
That's what we're working on. It gets rid of your phone bill.
Your phone costs.
Yes.
Yeah, for your equipment.
Mm-hmm. Are we having any bad service issues with the current system, or we're just anticipating able to be serviced anymore? That could be an issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know who installed those?
Steeper.
Oh, okay.
So it's 2005 technology.
And it's obsolete?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's not supported by Panasonic anymore. So we've known that this was coming, and we've been trying to figure out how can we get this into the budget. And the cloud system that Penny is referring to, you get rid of your local and long-distance calls. You don't get a phone bill. You just have that cloud service, and whether or not that equals out is yet to be determined.
And you don't have to buy equipment. They furnish your equipment.
Some phones we would still have to maintain, or the phone number, because the SCADA system fax for the police department. So there's a few things that has to remain. But we're still trying to weigh out those costs.
Yeah, I haven't looked at it really seriously, but it's nice to know you're checking into it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One of the other things, too, it becomes more efficient. As a phone call comes in, it can be transferred right to cell phones. It can be put into an email, all of it. So then the person is, whoever they're calling for, is directly connected. Whether or not you like that, I don't know.
Kind of like that black hole I have. All right, this is our GIS system we're looking at then for a total cost of $42,000. The planning, inspection, DPW, and parks portion of it, that's the $24,000 I've added under engineering.
Why can't we apply the entire 42? Or is it?
That is
all of those items 42?
That's, yep.
And why can't we apply the entire 42?
Well, sorry, this 24,000, because this is the governmental funds. That will apply fund balance. But the sanitary, the water, and the storm are those proprietary funds that are run like a business, so they pay their share of things.
And so that would be their cost.
That would be their cost.
We can pull the rest out and give it to them.
Yep.
And a quick return on investment, not that the return is quick, but a quick explanation of what that would get us versus what we do now, newer technology, newer ways to do things.
Yeah, right now we rely on maps. We pull maps from different drawers and pull the information
hard copy
together.
Maps. Oh, okay.
Hard copy maps. And when we get a phone call and when somebody asks a question about, you know, where is their sanitary lateral, where is their water service, you know, this will be nice, this will be handy, but this will be something I'll have on my computer all day long. I'll use it on a regular basis, half hour to an hour every day. If you've used the Brown County mapping system, mm-hmm. really no different than that, other than we're going to add all of our information to that. Again, I mentioned before, laterals, sanitary laterals, storm, water services, or our public water main, sanitary sewer, storm sewer.
And this will be open to the general public, too, like it is at Brown County.
So how much time will that save you and or anyone else?
You know, I'd run some quick math. I anticipate that that could save me up 3 to 4 weeks a year.
And how about other folks?
I would think that they would benefit likewise. Guys in the field, when they go out and do locates. It might be on their phone, or it might be on
a tablet,
right? Be handy.
How do we get the information into the system at this point?
Well, we have, we've been working on that. We've been taking the record drawings that we have, and we have been converting those to CAD drawings, and then those CAD drawings then will be converted to the GIS mapping, and they've started that process.
Is that a summer intern project, potentially?
It could be, yeah. Okay. The drafting would be done by, it has been done by, in the past, it's been done by the village, and there was some done this year by a consultant. We took street reconstruction plans from 2017, and the red lines that we had from last year were added to the drawing. They call that a record drawing then, and then that will get uploaded into GIS mapping file.
Would there be a plan to do the trend? I mean, it sounds like there would be a lot of labor involved in getting that started.
They have. They've been we have been working on that. We started, you know, they've been doing this for some time. They've, the village has been, you know, when we get red lines, we've added those red lines to the CAD files to create a record drawing, and we have record drawings for our most recent projects. You know, for our older projects we had this summer, we had taken old maps and we've scanned those and brought those into or added those to our electronic file. So that's why it's going to cost $42,000 to get everything entered in a GIS, and on a yearly basis, it will cost the village some money to continue to maintain that. Mm-hmm. So
now, does it come out of like the same website as Brown County?
No, it would be our own. GIS mapping system.
Okay, so they link through Alloway?
I believe so.
But does it still go to this Brown Dog thing?
No, it'd be our own system, but we would be able to take some of the stuff from Brown County. I've been told that they'd be willing to share the aerial that they have.
Okay.
Possibly the topo mapping that they have. We wouldn't have to exactly start from scratch, but we would take what we would want and then add to it our information. So,
interesting, you know, through a discussion, Chris reached out to some of the other area communities to see if they're doing the same thing, so that maybe there's a cost benefit for us all working together.
Never heard.
There's a couple that are interested. Some already have on staff, so.
Public service and cable and all those would not come into a system like this, would they?
It could be.
like your Digger's Hotline now, if those things were in this system.
I would say they would probably not do that just for the fact of.
They wouldn't exist.
You know, Digger's Hotline, if you're relying on that record that you just looked up and it's wrong.
Oh.
So you're not
physically
locating those.
You misinterpret type point. You're
right.
Yep.
Oops.
that could be dangerous.
Sean, is the software system program, for lack of better words, is it built on like a modular level so that we can expand it as we go? I'm having the phone system in the back of my head where we get this and within 5 years the system itself is out of date. I don't know what, you know, which system we're looking at or which systems we have already looked at to get a ballpark price.
I'm sure like anything else, you'd have to continue to update the software. I don't know how often. I believe that the name of the software is Esri. And you would probably get with your purchase of that software, there'd be a maintenance agreement. You'd have to maintain it every so often.
So it's not a subscription model, it's you're licensing it?
You know, I don't know the specifics and what, and I don't, we haven't looked into, you know, purchase of it yet, but I would hope that we'd be able to buy so many seats and we'd be able to share it. I'm hoping that we could get by with
two or three seats
and be able to share it.
Okay. Then how would a resident access that?
There used to be a little bit limited, but I believe that you could have it on your website and they could access it and use it.
Part of this GIS, we've also been talking about integrating a document management system called LaserBeach or something along that line, and that would integrate with it as well, so you'd have virtually all the information in a searchable location.
We're delaying that.
We just can't afford it right now. But I am having discussions later this month with Bellevue in the event they would like to do the same thing and maybe budget for it in 2020 as a group purchase.
I'm sure there's different options you can purchase, and I'm sure that, you know, for instance, the city of Wausau, we had, I could view and do things with the GIS mapping that somebody from the outside couldn't do. I'm sure that you know, when you bring that information up, and I don't know if it is another option, but I would think that it'd be something that we'd want to make available to the Village of Alloway residents.
I just know Brown County's is useful.
Well,
I don't know if anybody else has used it.
I use it quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So from that, 14,000 miles
On the levy, because we're taking 24 from the general fund.
What it'll be is the 24,000 that's charged to the general fund will come out of fund balance, so it's not affecting the levy.
So $14,000 of it, or whatever it is. $18,000
will
actually be
impacting
the levy.
These will impact the utilities.
Okay.
This year.
So there's zero impact to the levy from.
Correct. As you said, the LaserBeach we decided to delay. Fund 47, which is that parks capital improvement.
Scratch them off.
Project there?
You got all the money in it.
I don't. I don't want to use
it. This is a $13,000 he'd spend normally. These are some other items that comes up to the $60,000 to come out of fund balance, and that's all. If the money's not there, then it's going to be delayed. The one thing we will be bonding for is the Green Isle Park Road and parking lot reconstruction. And that'll be done when you do the street bonding, right? That little chunk for the parks there, $280,000.
Isn't that funny when we call that a little chunk, huh?
Yeah.
That's the entryway and all that. Entryway is done. It will pick up.
Yeah, entryway.
Yeah, just pick up past the slough into the wooded area and then do some parking lots.
Yep, I remember that. Thank you.
The entryway is nice.
Yeah, very nice.
And then
question.
Yep.
The park entrance signage. Can we pull that from the stadium tax?
We took some out for the stadium tax, yeah. But remember, it was a lot more than what was allocated. I think it's total estimated to do all the signage, the directional signage, wayfinding signs, it's closer to 40-some thousand, if I'm not mistaken. Does that sound about right, Debbie? Sorry,
I'm sorry, Ed.
What do we have? What's the balance in the stadium?
And we just got a check for, what, 12,700?
So I'm wondering, does it make more sense to pull that out of the stadium tax?
I think Chris is fine with this because this is kind of a planned use of that $13,000 over time. And then, like I said, these other items will come. He's got some money coming from Miracle League yet, and there's some grant money, so he'll have some more money in this fund, too.
But if we did take it out, that would cause the levy to go down by $13,000, right?
If we pull that levy, yeah. If you pull the levy from there and, say, buy it from the stadium instead, that means that.
We've done it before.
Yeah, I don't think that's that restricted, is it? The language in that one.
It's an idea for absolutely, it's an option.
Chris, in his recap under that fund 47 too, explains that a little bit more in detail. We were planning on doing that.
Mm-hmm. 2019 street utility reconstruction, $3.4 million is kind of a placeholder right now.
Yeah.
And then we'll have to get the allocation amongst the other funds. So I'm not quite sure how that's going to affect that debt service fund versus the utilities with their debt repayment on that. This Delahat new sidewalk, after we pulled the new sidewalk out of last year's budget because it wasn't being used, Sean needs a new sidewalk.
Just so don't get, for years, there was $10,000 budgeted in our budget for new sidewalks, and it was never used. So it's like, why are you budgeting for it? We're not using it, so we pull it out. Sean comes along with sidewalks.
Yeah, I had put together a cost estimate. Need to find that, but
$30,000,
and that would be from Dietrich to Hoffman on the east side of Delahat. Right now we have a gap in sidewalk, and it'd be nice to finish that and get sidewalk to Hoffman. I do need to talk to the impacted property owners. I haven't yet, and I will, to make sure that they're in agreement with the proposed plan. I know there's some large trees that we'd have to work around on the east side of Delahat.
No assessments, property owner assessments on those?
No, not typically, no.
So that, if there's money available in Fund 48, we'll use Fund 48 funds, otherwise that's going to have to go to bonding too.
So that's not going to impact the levy?
Correct.
And there's no safe routes money?
I think it would have to be predefined with what we've already set up on the safe route that was approved.
Old River Condo Trail. I don't know if you want to elaborate on that at all.
Yeah, we had discussed that. That was included in the developer's agreement for the Old River Condominium project. The developer will be he'll be funding a large portion of that trail. I think he, if I remember correctly, Garrett had, or the owners of the Old River Condominium Project, had committed $22,000 for that project, and that is to extend a trail from the condominium complex around the pond, the Heritage Hill Pond, and connect to the Fox River Trail. I had put together a cost estimate, and I had estimated that it would cost, roughly speaking, $42,500 to engineer and build the trail. $32,500. So I do have my estimate here.
But this would be our share.
That would be our share, right.
And that's hard cash outlay, or is that labor?
That's hard cash, right? We'd expand on the plans that the Old River Condominium complex had prepared, and be a project that we would bid because of the dollar amount.
And back to when that agreement was made, that we would also get them to do the grading. Mm-hmm. Some of the truck work.
For a trail that starts off of Riverside, or off their parking lot,
it'll be off the condo project itself, and it touches behind what's called the Feld property and the big cell tower. It cuts between there over towards the pond and then it's going around to the Fox River.
Okay. Yeah. So they give an easement for people to cross.
We are to the trail. That's our property.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a retention pond right there.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
This, too, we'd like to take it from fund balance. But it's good one time. It won't affect the levy then either.
Are they still on target? I mean, you know, they've got one of their duplexes or twin dominiums, whatever you want to call it. And I think it's supposed to have 16 more of those. As I look at that site, I think, where are they going to put 16 more?
There's 15 total. There's seven buildings.
Okay.
Makes sense. Something like that.
Yeah, the seven buildings with one standalone.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So total units would be 15.
Right. Yeah.
Total halves.
The one they're building right now is two units. I
think. Yeah. Okay. So it'd just be six more of those and that's.
But you got a developer giving us 2/3 of the cost of a trail that's on our property.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We can't complain about that, can we?
Nice summary.
Yeah.
This pipe burst here, this is within the sanitary sewer fund. It's a big dollar amount. Wasn't sure if we'd have to bond for it, but our cash flow indications are that this fund can cover that just through operations. So,
out of fund balance?
Out of the sanitary fund.
Out of its own fund.
Yeah. Offset by user fees, basically.
And that's when and if it occurs.
Mm-hmm. Now, this water tower project, these are the things, if you looked at that summary on the water department, we were showing a negative cash flow. So we had to take a look at that. $135,000 for the water tower, its interior repairs, possibly painting.
There was some damage, ice damage down inside.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, this has been a project that we've known about for a couple of years that we need to take care of next year. In order to do the work, you have to draw the water down inside, and there's an inspection that would be included with $135,000. You can drain it entirely, or you can drain it down to a certain point to get the work done. The damage was at the top end of the tower. That tower is also up for an inspection, so we'll probably send a diver in to inspect the entire water tower.
That's
all
that
fun.
Question, do we
volunteers
have insurance on the water tower?
Yes.
Maybe it doesn't cover damage like that?
Something we should look into.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's a good question, Matt. I think it was looking into it one time, but
act of God.
The process was started. And
an interesting act of God.
Mother Nature. She could be worse.
We also had a couple pickup trucks in the water department to be replaced, but we are delaying those too.
They're still running though, huh?
They're still running. We're pushing pickup trucks 15 years now.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's a goal. They're not there. We figure if they die,
then
take care of it at that point. Bethel Stormwater Pond, that's not in this budget. That's going to be done through bonding. We're looking at a price tag of approximately.
I don't know off the top of my head. I was just notified by the DNR that we have received the grant for that project, and I need to dig into that.
You think that would cover all?
Did you just say you're going to dig into that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Way to lighten the mood there, John.
Those are 50%, right, John?
You know, I don't know on that one if it's 80-20, 20 or 50-50 to DNR non-point source stormwater grant.
But we'll take what they give us.
Right. The topo and the engineering will get started next year.
Rest of these items here are equipment replacement fund purchases. We've got a police squad needs to be replaced.
We go through those pretty quick, don't we?
2 years, I believe, is when
they push them close to two. Because by the time they order it, it takes forever for it to get here, and which is good. That way they find the time to keep running it.
Code enforcement, that's the Jeep, right?
Yes, that old. 2000.
Oh, I didn't put the number on that.
2001?
It's beyond the 15 years. Yeah.
Wow.
It's got a few things that are interesting.
Street department is requesting a dump truck with a multi-purpose. Oh, you're replacing a dump truck with a multi-purpose truck.
We have a plow truck and a dump truck that need to be replaced. Look at the plan. I'm not sure which is being proposed this year and which one's being proposed to be replaced next year, but we've talked to the guys, and rather than buy two different trucks, I'd asked if we could buy a multi-purpose truck that would serve both purposes. One that would be able to plow and one that would be able to haul brush and bulk waste. So we will be replacing two trucks with one. It'll be a multi-purpose truck.
And that's wonderful. So I have a question. If we've been planning for two trucks and we're doing one, we take the money that we allocated for that other one and put it back into, we'll get to that, the open world. So we can, we cannot.
My sense is the multi-purpose is going to cost more, right?
There's a different way you would probably do that. It's reduce what's going into the equipment replacement fund.
And when we talked about, while you're thinking, vacuum converting a garbage truck, I think it was.
Into a,
that's potential, but that's not in this budget per se.
No, not in the 2019 budget. That'd be in 2020.
Well, DePere out vacuuming up leaves us when I was over there.
Mm-hmm. We want to talk about that now, or?
If you want to.
Yeah, we're currently looking into the method of leaf pickup. Right now we bale leaves, and it's an intensive process that requires a lot of staff and a lot of equipment. Mm-hmm. It requires two front end loaders to pull the leaves out in advance of the baler, and then you have driving a tractor, and then you have somebody operating a baler, and then you have a couple trucks behind that. So It's all hands on deck in the mm-hmm. fall to collect leaves. A lot of the communities are moving towards leaf vacuum trucks. They take old garbage trucks and they retrofit that with a suction device, ODB unit, a leaf vacuum device. Right now we have one, and what we typically do with that one is we send it out early.
To
try to stay ahead of the leaf piles. But when you start getting a lot of the leaves come down, then we use a baler because it is sufficient, but it's messy, and it takes a lot of equipment and then a lot of staff, and it requires that one of our sweepers run behind it to pick up what is missed. It is a parade. And like I said, a lot of the communities are starting to move towards these leaf vacuum trucks. And DePere has six. We have one. We're going to experiment a little bit this year. We've broken the village into three quadrants, and we're going to send that leaf vacuum truck to one quadrant, see how many times we can, how many round trips we can make within that quadrant. Just to get an idea. Yeah, I know that...
it's a single operator.
It was one operator, right, one piece of equipment. We feel that, and hopefully by the study, we will be able to determine how many leaf vacuum trucks we actually need. We think we need three, but by the end of this year, we'll know better what we'll need. If we can get by with three, then that's three employees and three leaf vacuum trucks compared to
six, eight.
I don't know how many. Front end loader, a tractor, a baler, two garbage trucks, somebody to load then the bales into the garbage truck, and then a sweeper behind that. You're looking at eight. Possibly eight pieces of equipment.
Because the demand for the bale leaves isn't so great.
And that's one of the issues that we've run into. Farmers aren't willing to take the bales because of the twine. And that gets into their equipment when they spread it or till their fields. Bigger demand for just the loose leaves. So I think we're going to head in that direction. We're going to experiment a little bit this year, get a little bit better idea of what we can handle with a leaf vacuum truck.
Maybe this would be a good time to talk a little bit about what we're going to be working on this winter. I'm going to call it a lean, but it's not a true lean study, but internally we're going to be going through each and every service and function that we provide in the village. What's involved with it? What are the equipment? Why do we do it this way? Why is there ways to do it differently? So we're really going to be sitting down, and that's some of the stuff that's already taken place by what we're already starting to do. But I think there's room for improvement from just based on things have changed, technology has changed, equipment has changed, and I think we need to really look at it to see what we need to do to change. Maybe there's some efficiencies, and like Sean's referring to that multi-purpose truck. Why buy two when you can get one and get by with it?
Sean, do the vacuums also pull up the yard waste as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
Any cats or kids hiding in there?
Kitty, maybe, huh? Okay. We're delaying a tractor, the Parks Department. Chris was okay with that. We're also going to delay a couple of new items Chris was looking at for the Parks Department, a dump trailer. And this, let's see here.
Well, there you go. Chris isn't getting everything anymore.
part of the reason to look at this, let's see here, is it areas that we can use to help redo, depending on the size of it, some of the road work, landscaping, instead of contracting some of the stuff out, it is some of the stuff we can do in-house. And again, that's all going to be looked at this whole winter.
So, let's look at the process before we buy some of the equipment.
Correct.
We do have the grapple bucket for them and a new pressure washer, these two items. For the Parks Department. So those, like I said, the changes, when you're looking at some of that detail, I've got copies of that new detail. Basically, it was just taking the fund balance for these items here for the GIS and for this trail connection, and then how those items affected the cash flow within our utilities here.
Oh. Yeah. Food's here, guys. Why don't we take a small recess? Grab some food.
Nice layout, Julie.